Good evening. This is Deborah Herman, and this is Soul Odyssey Radio, where each week we introduce topics related to the journey of the soul. I am Deborah Herman, your host, mystic medium animal communicator extraordinaire, and I talk to you about the seven lessons of Soul Odyssey. I will just say them, and you can take note. They are courage, tolerance, self-protection, self-love, ego, love of humanity, and God-love. And they are a series of, a cosmic curriculum that I've been working with for many, many years. And they help each of you to ascend to your soul's potential. But what I didn't know until the universe put me into contact with our very, very, very special guest tonight, Sheldon Neidel, is that all of this work has to do with a much bigger picture. And I almost feel like we each have our own territories. And I was always told for many, many years, Deborah, your territory, it's not the ETs, it's not the UFOs. And I was like, okay, because my brain was being blown away enough to think about all of the, I went from being, you're like many of you or all of you, we're average human beings. We think we have one reality, and then we expand on our spiritual journey, and we realize that there are many, 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 many realities far beyond our greatest comprehension. And so I was very grateful when, as fate would have it, I mentioned last week that I was at a bookstore in L.A. and had about 5 minutes, and I followed my guidance and grabbed, a handful of books, and one of them was one of Sheldon's earlier books about you are a galactic human. Is that correct, Sheldon?
No, it's you are becoming a galactic human.
I'm so sorry. I will say it again because I can't remember things doesn't mean it's not memorable. You are becoming a galactic human, and it had a great influence on me, and of course it led me to contact you directly and invite you on the show. So this week's show is a continuation because we couldn't even start on half of the topics that we need to discuss. So I don't want to belabor things too much. Are you able to hear me?
Yes, I am. I am indeed, Deborah.
Okay. I'm having a little trouble on my end, but it's not anything surprising for the day I've had. I want to begin our show now by praying to all of the angels of light and all of the galactic beings to put a true shield of light and protection around all of us, to fill us all with love, to connect us from one soul pod to another, brother and sister, into our greater good. Because I'll tell you what, it seemed like everything in its power was trying to prevent this show this evening. Have you ever had that happen?
Yes, it's like normal for me. there's a tremendous amount of great deal of ridiculous attempts to interfere by the powers that be on this world with what I'm doing since I've started this. So this is all happening.
Thanks a bunch, Sheldon. Thanks a bunch. The most ridiculous things happened. I was reading your book. I took it over to a restaurant. I forgot it there. And don't worry, it's not lost. I was having technical difficulties. Things that were happening to me personally. Just ridiculous things where it felt like something was trying to prevent what I think between the two of us is a very important message that people need to hear. The way I phrased I know what it was. All of my typical invitations to my regular audience never made it.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't discover it until, I got them out, and I know that we have regular listeners, but I don't know why that happened or how. You explain it, Sheldon.
It's just the oddities that happen. It's just the restrictions. But what you do is you just keep white lighting yourself. You just ask for heaven and the various teams of the Galactic Federation to come and surround you and help you. And it always turns out that whatever they're doing, in the end, it doesn't succeed. So
well,
I learned to do that. It's almost like second nature to me right now. So
well, I think it was, you know, just a reminder for me and perhaps for our audience that these things are real. Now, you talk a great deal about, you know, and again, I'm not one to make people fearful. In fact, my message is the opposite. And if you look this evening, I did an amazing interview with my horse, Tonk, the Mystic Wonder Horse today, where we talked about fear and how humans need to not live in fear. But we do need to protect our energy, and we need to be very aware that what's happening right now is a spiritual war. It is we are changing the balance of light and dark, and those of us who pray to be, you know, in the light, our souls are ascending. We're learning many, many things. All of Sheldon's books are amazingly illuminating, and we need to know that there is this, you know, the dark as well as the light. Now, Sheldon, you talk about the dark cabal. First, I want to say that does not mean Kabbalah. Okay, that's
right,
not
exactly
the same thing. Okay, but explain.
Sure,
that.
Sure. We have similar backgrounds in that. Yeah, I don't believe in anything other than this typical word of cabal, which is simply a group that comes together for a certain purpose. And in the case of the Dark Cabal, it's a group of very wealthy elitist people around the planet coming together to do things that are not in the best interest of our planet or of our global societies, as we can see with what's going on in the Gulf right now.
Now, when I read some of your information, I also read, maybe I'm just reading between the lines, but I suspect that the human dark cabal, so to speak, is somehow associated with otherworldly beings who may also not have our best interests at heart. Am I making that up?
No, you're absolutely correct, Deborah.
Can you explain that a little bit?
Well, what we have to understand is the dark energies on this planet have basically run this planet for around 13 millennia, which is a long time. And these spiritual energies that they set up long ago, when these particular energies that created our reality first manifested, are there. And then there are those people who can utilize that energy, and this is the Dark Cabal Group, which is an ancient series of very dark mystical orders that have been in charge of this planet for a long, long time. And before that, they had a group that existed off-world, which is simply the Anunnaki, which if you go back to the ancient formed things, you will discover that what is happening here is that this group is actually what they call the sky gods. These are the gods of ancient Greece, the gods of ancient Sumeria, etc., Egypt, whatever reality you happen to be a part of. And this group is no longer out there helping them. So what the dark Kabbalists, the minions of the dark on our planet are doing are two things. They're attempting to maintain what is a sinking reality because the light is really beginning to take over. And it's moving from a world that's of high chaos to a world that'll be of great order. And we're in the end of that. So we're in the middle of this great chaos. And unfortunately, the economic and the social situations occurring on this planet are part of that whole procedure.
So the sky gods, were they good or were they bad?
They were mostly on the bad side. They are portrayed in, of course, the myths, which are trying to portray them in a good light, which is simply as people that warred, that created all kinds of problems among men. If you look at the Greeks, the whole theme of Pandora's box is an idea of this whole concept. The Greeks had it, the Egyptians had it, the ancient Sumerians have it. You find it in the ancient mythologies of all the major nations in both Africa as well as in Asia. The Chinese mythologies talk of the same thing. There's the whole concept of the dragon and the dark. I mean, it's something that goes on all over the time throughout our history. And what is happening right now is that we are moving into another light because the Anunnaki represent what you might call the dark aliens, and that has left our reality in the mid-90s. So what we have right now are remnants of it, of course, being played on by the secret U.S. government and a few other places who are very interested in maintaining the cover-up and the divisions. And so what we have to remember is that that exists out there. People have become so much into dichotomies that the concept of there not being a dark out there and to do something and there only be people that are out there for your best interest is something that a lot of people are still extremely skeptical about because of all the movies, the magazines, et cetera, that have gone on, plus the various predictions and pronouncements of so-called government experts and various people in quote-unquote mainstream science, et cetera, about this, that people are so used to the concept of evil aliens that when I try to explain this to people, the process is not an easy one, but I am able to have made a lot of progress with people, so I feel that what I'm doing is helping, and there are now a lot of other people out there who are also explaining the same basic message, so I'm no longer alone, and I feel very happy about that. So we're making headway, but unfortunately...
Okay.
Go ahead.
Figure this out. I felt a shift, too. I know that what I have been told to teach about soul odyssey and soul ascension is that essentially people who come into the physical plane, that we're on a journey, there are many tribulations, and what we basically are learning is if we shift our thinking about it and we connect with God and love and tolerance and are tolerant of each other and love each other and love ourselves, that's really the way to remove the vulnerabilities and for us to ascend to our true nature. But I also know that the self-protection lesson, that there are still dark forces and there are still these, you know, we each internally have negative thoughts and experiences that we need to be able to, you know, deal with, release, forgive. You know, forgiveness is like the major thing we need to do for both ourselves and each other. But
right.
are you saying that's an illusion, or is that, you know, I kind of feel like we come here as, you know, I've said classroom Earth. I was told many, many years ago about the seven lessons that if people figure it out in their minds, they can shift their thinking, and that's how they can become more spiritual, more centered, and can mm-hmm. be invulnerable in some ways.
Right. That's exactly some of the early stuff that I was doing when I first began this. This is exactly the process. The core thing is forgiveness and love. Out of forgiveness and love comes the eternal knowledge. There are people understand that there is this dichotomy no longer between light and dark. There's light. We maintain the dark through the manipulation and the basic perceptions that were given us because that's the way our society is. In religion, you learn about light and dark. When you get to school, you learn there are good people and bad people. In psychology, they have the same thing. So the whole process of as people look at our society is to maintain the concept, the perception of the dichotomy. And once that dichotomy is shifted, then people begin to see that light and love, and with the key being forgiveness, is not just a concept, it's a mighty weapon. It's like Michael's swords that work to defend you exactly against any kinds of difficulties you may perceive or see happening around you. And that's really, as you're saying, that's the key to this whole process. And
I felt a shift because many, many years ago, I went through a battle with what I can only call a dark entity. And mm-hmm. I know that my spiritual guides wanted me to have respect for darkness and to know mm-hmm. that I had to take care of myself, and that was a point where I had to surrender completely to God and to say, mm-hmm. I don't, you know, because then I would have been vulnerable to my ego, I would have been vulnerable, you know, to all of these things. If I wanted to be a servant of the universe and of God, I had to surrender, and I had a fight. And I did. And one of the things I was given at the time was a way to exorcise this thing and to send it back to the abyss. And mm-hmm. what I'm feeling now is, you know, when I do healing work and I want to help, help a being to cross over, I'm feeling more like sending them to the light instead
right.
of back, like maybe, you know, that's not where they need to go. I mean, I need to say, yeah, leave me alone, go away, but it's a different, is that true? I mean, is it a different,
yeah.
you know, are there beings I still need to say, you know, go back to the abyss, or am I supposed to give them love and forgiveness and say, go to the light?
Yeah, tell them to go to the light. Tell them to go to the light. If they fear the light, once they realize that the fear is no longer valid, they're done. They combine with the other aspects of the divine light and become one greater light. And that's really what this creation is all about, taking the light and dark and combining it to make an even greater light. And so the key to that is forgiveness and love, but it's also understanding who and what you are. And that's really what we're talking about here, is understanding who and what you are. You understand that you are a being of light. You are a great soul. You've come here to do a mission. You are here. You have been incarnated on this planet only because of that factor. Everyone has to realize they are all that, and to not put themselves down. And once you stop giving your power away, A, once you stop, B, understanding that you are all of this and that you can actually utilize this, that's when everything starts to change for people. And that's when people really begin to wake up to who and what they are, which is really the key to what we're talking about, because that then allows you to have forgiveness and to really express what I like to call true love. True love is you accept people without any conditions. You learn
yeah.
to understand the processes that we are all here together. We are all individual aspects of this great one, and that we have the capability to use our merging into that great one whenever we need it to bring out power and energies that allow us to move further and further into understanding who and what we are. And then as we get more aware of what this is, we begin to ascend, because all that the Galactic Federation is here with the angels and heaven is to help us ascend into what I call fully consciousness, which is when we combine ourselves in such a way that we allow ourselves to be both worlds, in other words, working in the world of spirit and working in the world of physicality all at once, and that we can step between these worlds and understand them freely. And that's really what full consciousness is all about.
Sheldon, it's the most amazing thing. You answered something for me. When I have been interviewing my amazing mystic wonder horse, Tonk, mm-hmm. And you have to look at these videos, he has been saying to me, he's almost frustrated because he says, I said this last time. He has said to me twice that humans do not know who they are. And
mm-hmm.
you have just said the same words. That's the key. We need to know who and what we are so that we can live. And he's always saying, all it is live in joy. Find your joy, find your passion, know who you are, and become a herd. Those are the messages from my horse. And
right.
And I understand that you have another book, and again, please forgive it's my age. Colleen said that there's a chapter in it about the equine.
Right, right, right. Yeah, that's called Your Galactic Neighbors, right.
And
what we have in there are 22 star nations, and one of them is the Arcturians, which are the horse people. Exactly.
Would they have any connection to my horse or, I mean, I just find it, he said today that, you know, that he said to me today that people are going to be very happy in the next 2 years, and that there are going to be two basically ascended beings or higher beings who are going to descend into the earth plane and
mm-hmm.
be here. And that was going to make us all very happy. What do you think of that?
Right, that's what First Contact is all about, is the fully conscious people of the Galactic Federation coming to greet us and helping us become fully conscious and doing what they talk about. And, of course, the average greeting in Syrian, not meaning, of course, the country in the Middle East, but the Syrians from Cirrus B, their way they basically greet each other is they say one little phrase, Salamat Jah, which simply means be in joy.
Well, then he's definitely an Arcturian horse. Because he's been saying these things for months, and I didn't really understand. And you know, we've only just connected in the last couple of weeks. So I think that our listeners need to see, you know, some listeners are coming from the point of view of interest in UFOs. And right. Some people come from the point of view of interest in spirituality and metaphysics. And I think it's important for the listeners to understand that this is bigger than both of those subjects. This is not just the paranormal. This is not just UFOs. There's a reason for all of it, and those are just aspects, fascinating aspects, because they change our human reality, but they are just aspects of this bigger picture, that there's a purpose to all of this, that we are citizens of the universe, and that we are loved by God, and that we are truly connected, not only to citizens of this world, but that we have an impact on the citizens of the galaxies.
Exactly, and that's why this particular time in our history is so important, because this is a time when we are beginning to do those two things we need to do to become fully conscious, which is, one, we need to change our physical aspects, which is our body. So our chakra systems are changing, all the different systems in our body are changing, the meridian systems are changing, the nervous system is changing, and the other thing that's happening is we need to become less dense, and so we are becoming less dense. Our basic physical aspect of where we measure ourselves is the so-called base frequency, and that has been, in humans, has been raising. So what we are seeing is that we are physically changing, and then the second part is the spiritual aspect. We need to become more spiritual, and so people around the planet are doing what is called, quote-unquote, awakening. That means they become more aware of who they are, and they become more aware that they are more than just a physical being. And that is what is happening all around us, and that is something that heaven has been setting up for a long time. This has been going on in earnest for over two decades. We're now near the end of that. So what is going to happen with fully consciousness is we integrate both the aspects we just talked about, which is the spiritual and the physical aspects. And that allows us then to raise up to a point where we become what the Syrians have had me call physical angels, which are angels that deal with physicality and are kind of the interlopers between what physicality is and basically what heaven is all about. So what we are seeing right now are beings doing that.
Now,
yes, go ahead.
Dovetails nicely with what I've been told about, and some of my EVP guests have. There's a gentleman called Mark Macy. I don't know if you've ever heard of him, but he talks about the energy plane of the Earth, and then there's another plane, an energy plane right past that he calls the dismal plane, where people go who don't know they're dead or they're afraid of the light. And then there's the astral plane, and one of the jobs that I have felt very compelled to do, and I think other people with mediumship ability are feeling the same, is it's fine if we connect with the people who are in the astral plane and they want to visit and we learn from each other, because they're still on their soul journey. But it's important for us to try to encourage the people in that in-between place to move on, because I suspect that that's a dimension that really doesn't have a purpose anymore. Don't we all need to, like, our energies need to be beyond that? That's a place of fear and darkness, and the more love and acceptance we have, and the less fear, and the more that we're able to encourage, you know, spirits who are stuck to move toward God and the light and into their own fully, achieved status, the better.
Exactly. That's one of the things that is encouraged by the Galactic Federation and by heaven itself, is for, as we become more conscious, if we encounter these particular phenomena, to just use our energies to allow ourselves to become part of this whole energy machine, to move all the people and spiritual beings and all the other phenomena that exist in that reality out of that reality and into the light. Exactly.
Well, I just was shown a vision. You know how when you got an old house and you've got the ducts, we're all supposed to be cleaning out the ducts. you know, mm-hmm. and clearing it and getting, you know, and helping people to know, you know, they're still, they were indoctrinated, you know, their spirit personality was indoctrinated during many, as you said, millennia, where there was such a dichotomy between light and dark, where they truly may be terrified of God and, of, you know, and realize and believe, I think that they believe they're not worthy. And that may
exactly
be a reason worthy. They stay close.
Right, exactly. Worthiness is one of the major things that has been used over the millennia by the Anunnaki and their earthbound minions to do just that, work to continue people to feel less than themselves, to remain powerless, to not feel that they can get their power, and to use then the thing that happens from all of those things, which is fear. And, of course, fear is just a thing that's not real. It's just false evidence appearing real. So we just have to understand that we live in worlds in which perceptions, namely this reality, in which perceptions are utilized by those wishing to control us to maintain that control. And the thing they use is, of course, any concept of fear. Fear is mainly the main thing. It's like the opposite of what love is all about, because love is not about being fearful. It's about being fearless. And so once
I was just going to say that Eleanor Roosevelt, I think, I'm sure I'm going to misquote, but she said that no one can make you feel less unless you give them permission. And,
exactly.
And she was obviously aware that so many people never really reach their potential. They never can experience the receipt of love. You know, they can give, but they still feel that emptiness and that loneliness because they don't feel worthy of receiving it. And I think I've talked about this many, many times on the show, and I think one of the most awful things you can do to people is to make them feel they're not good enough for God.
Exactly. That's one of the, and I think that would be really one of the major, if there was such a thing as true sins, that would have to be one of them.
Absolutely. Deliberate cruelty is another one that's up there, that's a baddie, mm-hmm. which, you know, also it's not a sin, but one of the tasks I think we're given being here on Earth is to be true to ourselves. And that's mm-hmm. easier said than done, because we don't look at ourselves as the individual project that we are, you know?
Exactly.
We have to learn who we are, and to, you know, I have a card in my deck that I will say God channeled through me. I'm grateful. And one of the cards says, "Your truth is God's truth." And mm-hmm. that was something one of my earliest teachers said to me, and I never understood it. But there's a part within each of us that is so real and so authentic that it is in direct resonance with God. Now we got a letter from one of the people that you probably know who follows your work, and he wanted us to talk about what's on everyone's mind, which is the oil spill. And he said that new information has come to light that indicates that the reasons for the oil spill are far worse than we've been told, and that we're not being given the full information of what a disaster it could be. And one of the things in the article is that there's oil volcano pressure, which may actually be too strong for containment. It's called a thunder horse. And mm-hmm. so he wanted you to talk about this.
Okay. One of the things that created this was, of course, the government and the various officials of BP and those related to the particular Horizon platform were into not basically keeping the law, so to speak. So this platform was there illegally, and it was not even following any of the safety procedures. So you knew sooner or later that some monster problem that would create a catastrophe like we now see around us for the past period since late April, when this thing happened around April 20th, has been occurring. Now, what Mother Earth was doing was looking around for such a place, because what she wanted to do was to explain to people that there's a warning that what we need to do is to come together as people, and also that the planet as it now exists wishes really for the next phases of what contact and our ascension is all about, and that the delays that have been occurring to prevent this have to end. And so everything is playing out. The dark aspect of this, the governmental, oil politics, oil management people are doing exactly what was expected. That's what Mother Earth knew would happen and is happening. So is there a solution? Yes, there is. We come together. There are a number of technologies that can stop this, plus the Galactic Federation, if it had the pressure off of it that now exists because of the cover-up, they could go in there and solve this problem. There is indeed a pressure problem on the planet right now around that oil well. It's built near a fault zone. So if you try to do anything to really cap it properly, it's probably going to crack all over the place, and there'll be all kinds of additional ancillary oil spills seeming out of the planet. So what we have to then understand is the thing needs to be capped by using the energies the Federation has plus our own energies. So this is really, to me, a joint effort. And one of the things the Federation did in the last message that I gave out for Tuesday was asking a challenge for people to come together to look for solutions, because there are solutions out there. There are technologies that could really play a long ways toward minimizing and mitigating a lot of the difficulties that are going on right now. What BP and its friends have done is created a situation where there are massive flows of undersea, almost like ice flows of, in this case we call them oil flows. And what's happening, they are all over the Gulf right now. People are beginning to see the parts of it seeping into the Florida coast, into the coast of all the states around the Gulf area. And I'm sure eventually it'll probably seep into a lot of the Caribbean islands to the south, as well as into Mexico. But the main part of it is going to be heading up the coast into the Gulf Stream. And when that happens, we have not only just a disaster that's regionalized, we have a global disaster. So what is needed is, first of all, to move forward with our own energies to allow this whole process to change. And that allows, that's prayer and that's action. So prayer simply means coming together with ritual. The other thing is setting an intention and a work project to allow all of us to participate in creating pressure politically to allow for the various technologies. These are micro technologies. There are specially formed surfactant waters that can cause all of this to go away in terms of the leak. We can convert the leak into giant monsters of fertilizer and food for fish and for everything that lives around in the area. We can turn these various destroyed lands that are happening all around us. We can recreate the fishing industry. We can create out of this something that I like to call the Greater Gulf. And it can all take like a matter of 3 to 10 weeks if we really started doing the procedures. So that's out there. So we need to put the pressure on this because we have mainstream news, we have the government, and of course we have BP and its friends working very, very hard to keep this sealed up so that people don't realize the disaster that it is and demand action. So what we need to do is use our energies in the internet, use our energies in prayer, and begin to move this whole thing with a strong intention toward a successful and proper conclusion and not the disaster that is right now beginning to happen and that over the next few weeks to the next few months can happen. So
now,
that's what we need to do.
I have a proposition for you.
Sure.
Actually, I just want to tell a funny story. When I was a little girl, and I don't know when BP started coming about, I lived on Long Island, and I can remember driving on Long Island, and it's just so silly the things you do and remember, but I saw BP, and I asked my dad or my mom, what does that stand for? And they said British Petroleum. And it offended me so much at that time that I wrote on a piece of paper something like, to whom it may concern, BP means British Petroleum, and I threw it out my car window so people would understand. I felt, even at that time, that there was something, you know, not right with it, and little did I know. But the proposition or proposal I would like is for you to draft a letter. I will also, if you would like, add to it. And I would like us to, or I will be happy to start a Facebook page, and I would like us to try to make it go viral with a letter that people can send to their local congressman, their local, you know, and bring it. What I absolutely adore now is I watched on one of the television stations from, I think the people were from Alabama, where they literally barricaded their own waters without asking any government approval. And the mayor said, I'm not waiting. This is our water, and I'm not going to wait for, you know, for them, for the bureaucracy to decide to decide. And they all got together, and he said that within a half hour he could get literally people from his community to stand hand to hand to block the oil if he had to. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of grassroots thing we need, because this is not – We're powerful, and we want this to change. So I'm hoping that, and if you do that, I will make sure, at least whatever network I have, and I know that people will do it too, that we will get it out there and start putting some pressure on local governments. How's that?
That sounds great.
And
I'll
we'll have
to work on it. I'm going to
go
look
and see hard.
About I'm going to look for letters that are on different subjects and see what the basic concept of how you do it is, so I know what I'm doing. So, yeah, I do that.
Well, I'm actually, don't tell anyone, even though it's on radio, I'm a recovering lawyer. So
mm-hmm.
You and I can draft this together.
Okay.
How's that for a deal?
Because
I don't know,
great.
Sheldon, I just
great.
Got this feeling that you're going to really, you know, just, you know, you channel. Get it just. You know, the things you write are beautiful. So just, you know, get it out. We'll put it right up as soon as possible, and we'll let people take it from there. It's just if you can provide the facts, just like you did on this show, and you give us all the essence of it so that we can all be good and angry, then that's going to motivate all of us to do something. Now, this is Live Call-In. I realize that we have so many things to talk about, but if any of you in the audience want to ask a question, make a comment, tell us whether or not you're willing to help us with this letter campaign, you can reach us at 888-815-9756, and we welcome your calls at all time. Before we move to another subject, Sheldon, I'd like you to talk about your webinar and tell people how to sign up and how they can find you on your website. And then I'll talk a little bit about my own work, and we can make sure that people continue.
Sure. Well, what I'm going to be doing is my next webinar, and that webinar is going to be about crop circles, zero-point energy, a brief overview, and then I'm going to spend most of the time just talking about First Contact and I'm getting an update on what First Contact is doing right now, where we're going with it, and what's happening on our planet. So that way people can be caught and be up to date on everything. When is it, and how do you get to it and all that?
It's Sunday, June 20th.
Right,
correct?
Sunday, June 20th. It'll be from 12 noon to 1:30 p.m. Pacific time, and people can then use their own local times to go with that. And then the second one is going to be on Thursday evening from 6 o'clock, which is the 24th of June, from 6 o'clock to 7:30, which is Pacific time once again. Now, how do you find out about it? I have a website. It's called www.paoweb, which is one word, paoweb.com. Go there, go to where the updates are, and just scroll down, and you'll see where at the beginning it talks about the webinar. Go there and just click on where you pay for it, which would be $15. And the $15 is good for both. If you want to go to one or the other or both of them, that's also a part of the whole process. And then we'll send you a PIN number and a code so that you can be allowed to go into where the webinar is and then you'll be able to listen to it. All you need, if you want to do it on a computer, is just a set of a headset.
Okay. Well, I will tell you that the first one, Sunday, June 20th, is the day before the solstice. That's a very, very powerful time, particularly to receive a message from the Galactic Federation and from the spiritual hierarchy. And that should be a very, very powerful day. And I will forgive you, Sheldon, because your next one is the night of my show. But I will consider, just to make sure that everyone doesn't feel, you know, divided, I want them to hear what you have to say. I will actually consider, you know, that evening doing doing an archive, and we'll all go to your party. How's that?
That sounds fantastic, Deborah.
And we'll just push everybody to the webinar, and that way we can all we can all meet and be at similar purposes. So I will give up my Thursday night for you, Sheldon. How's that? Well, you've been giving up your Thursdays for me, and we're all doing it for the same cause. So what we have so far is we've got a great webinar coming up with Sheldon. Now, what is your regular website again?
Okay, my regular website is www.paoweb.com. That's just P-A-O-W-E-B, one word, .com. And if you go there, you'll get onto the first page, and then you just navigate around it, and you can get the updates. You can see what events are happening, et cetera. Of course, you can buy product.
Of course, and now, since you opened the door to that, before we take our caller, I would like to mention that I am available. I've now hung my shingle. I'm available for phone readings and for individual appointments for people who are in the Massachusetts area or the New England area. And when I say phone readings, it means that I will do a soul odyssey reading for you, help you find your soul purpose, the blocks that you may have, help you with your ascension. I also do animal communication. My horse, if you're in the Massachusetts area, you may want to go talk directly to the source of the horse. You can reach me on through my website, which is www.soul-odyssey.com. My email is Deborah@soul-odyssey.com. And there are many parallels between the work that I do and the work that Sheldon does. And this is all your work. It's time for you. We provide information, and we are both blessed to be given information from these, ascended beings. But this is a time for you to be your own guru. And what we are guides. We're giving you information that's coming through us. And I think we're both blessed to be messengers. So take advantage of it while you can, find ways that you can be, refining your abilities to understand your strengths, your weaknesses, and developing your own gifts of intuition and higher understanding. We have Maya from Massachusetts. How are you, Maya?
Hello.
Hi there. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
Very, very well. Do you have a question or a comment?
Yes. Yeah. First, I want to say congratulations on your very excellent radio shows. I try to listen every Thursday. It's a wonderful job on that, and also a wonderful job to you, Mr. Nidal, on your teachings and everything. You bring a lot of inspiration to the world. I had a direct question for Mr. Nidal. I just wanted to ask his perspective about another world prophecy of the Maya world ending in 2012, and whether there are any parallels to our modern day and age, and also if there was during the whole 2000 scare of N2K, Y2K, and Nostradamus. Prophecy?
Excellent question. Healthy, I guess, Sheldon, you need to take that a piece at a time.
Yeah, well, let's look at the whole process, first of all. People look at prophecy of the world. They see good prophecies. They see disasters. They see both sides. What we have to realize is we are moving toward, from out of the chaos that we now live in, we're moving toward a greater and greater chaos, as you can see happening almost every day around you. What is happening is we are moving away from this chaos into order. That means we're moving out of the dark and into light. But before you get out of the dark, you have to go through the last dark tunnel, which can be very dark, which is where we are right now. That's why they always have nice little proverbs, which were really setting up among many great masters. They said it's always darkest before the dawn, to give an example of these. So this is what is happening to us. We are really right now on the final part of all these prophecies. And what the Mayans are really talking about is a change in time, which means that moving from an age in which light and dark are in the very chaotic form of time, moving toward where there's a new era, a new time. And this new time is what we're headed towards right now, a new reality. Because if you look at the Mayans, they have a thing which is called Tum, T-U-M, and that means the diamond mind. What is the diamond mind? It is crystal clear, just like a very excellently well-constructed diamond would be. And it brings forth the great light of wisdom that just shoots out of it, just like you cut a diamond, you'll see a natural light flowing through it. So this is what all the great masters in the Mayan timekeeper business for generations after generations that they pass it forward were about, is creating a race of people who have within them this natural created tomb. This is fully conscious beings. That's what this new time is about. Nostradamus, when he looks at all the disasters, etc., we have to realize that the base word for catastrophe is simply a word which simply means awakening. So what we're really talking about, when you see in the Bible or other things about catastrophes, we're working toward a period of awakening, a period of ascension. And that's basically what everything in the Bible is ultimately, with all its clues and strange, weird stories, is all about, is moving us from where we are now to a period where we have awakened, which is where we are in right now, into a period where the awakening goes to the next level, is where we integrate everything, which is being fully conscious. So to me, all the great prophecies around us are really talking about is warning about the disasters, like, for instance, the oil spill happening, but also telling us that what is happening out there right now is a movement from the dark to the dawn. And as it said, everything would be at the darkest, and that's what we have. If you look all around our planet, we are still at the edge of a massive economic disaster. We have this massive series of ecological disasters. And so our planet and our society is asking a question right now, is, are we ready to change? Or if not, are we willing to walk through the fire, so to speak, to get to where the world changes? So that's what's happening right now. And I see the process of change occurring as a natural process that's moving us from where heaven wants us to be, and the Galactic Federation as their servants moving that well forward in physicality. And all of this is now moving where physicality and heaven combine and create this greater light. And that's what is really happening here. And so I don't look upon this era as an era of disaster. I look upon this era right now happening as the preliminaries and the actual time when all this change occurs. So we have to look at it with light and love and with courage and hope, and not look at it with division and hatred and no hope but fear. We have to get beyond that, and get into out of our fear, into fearlessness, into courage, into finding out who we are, using our great joy and our coming together to create the world that is the world that is predicted for us to happen, that is our destiny, and that all the beings around us in the light are here to help us achieve. We are not alone.
That's wonderful. Yeah. And I want to use this opportunity. For those of you who've been following the show since the beginning, you start with courage, you learn tolerance, you learn the self-protection, which is to notice where the darkness is and to reach inside for your light and for your connection to God. You learn to love yourself and feel worthiness. You learn to transcend your own sense of ego. You learn that you're connected one to the other, each with the same light of divinity, and then ultimately connecting with God. And that's going to be how we all together get through this period of tribulation. And if we realize that we each are a light within ourselves, we can show and shine, we can show each other and shine the light on each other and to go through the darkness without it being as, with it being exciting and exhilarating. And that's what I feel lately is the excitement and the exhilaration. Whenever I feel that I'm awakening and when I meet people who are all awakening, it's a blessing. But thank you, Sheldon. That was a wonderful description and explanation. And Maya, I understand, if you're the Maya I know, that you had a birthday recently, and I wish you many blessings and lots of love. Are you still there?
Yes, I am. Hello?
Yes, happy birthday.
Yes, thank you so much, and thank you for having me on the show.
Great. Actually, I am going to take
thank
another
you.
Caller. Michael from Texas, if you're still there.
I am.
Is Michael still
Hello?
There?
Yes. Hello?
Michael from Texas?
Hello?
Oh, thank
Hello?
God. We are at the end of the
Hello?
Show, but I had to get you on. Because I think
Can
you,
you
tried
me?
Last week.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Oh, there we go. I heard Sheldon. Yeah, it's
yeah.
a treat to get to speak with you both again. We didn't have much time last week.
Oh, that's right. But you called at the end again.
Well, I didn't know we could call through earlier in the show. I didn't want to interrupt anything.
Oh.
I do have another question. Of course, we are concerned. I'm directly on the southeast coast of Texas, so we're highly concerned about the spill and doing whatever we can to come up with options to work with it. I did speak with a friend that works at BP, and he explained to me that microorganisms that I think Sheldon's referring to in his cleanup, they're referred to as bugs commonly here, and that
mm-hmm.
that's what was used in the Houston Ship Channel in the spill
right.
we had years back. Only one concern about that is the cost of it. He tells me that just to clean up one tank here, one storage tank, is about $100,000. And requires a great many bugs, so to speak. So I don't know how many of them are out there or whatever, but at least it's a start on one level.
Right.
You know what I'm getting? I don't mean to interrupt you, Sheldon. I am getting as loud as I can in my head, and I can't say exactly what I'm getting, but bullpucky. And that's what it is. It's bullpucky. And we really need to, there is so much money going for things that are not important. The environment has to be made number one. And I really believe, it's like I feel Gaia saying to me right now, tell them you got to fight. And we've got to let people know what our priorities are as human beings. And it's not loss of life. It's not politics. It's our world, our environment. And this is a fight that we can all take a stand and say, quit spending money on things that are not important. And take the time, take the money, use the – I mean, it's obvious what the answer is. And so I hope you were listening earlier when we were talking about a letter that we're going to generate. Okay. And I want you to be one of our little soldiers, too. We're all spiritual soldiers. And when you email email me, email Sheldon. Again, it's Deborah at soul-odyssey.com. Find a way, and we will send you a copy of the letter, and you put your name on it, and you give it to other people, and if you want to put the word bullpucky on it, you can. But we, you know, that'll be good. I'll make a shirt. This is all, but we have to take a stand. This is a war, And this is a war that we can win.
Yeah, I think we can win.
Back to a
question I had asked last week was about contacting any of the members of the Federation of Light. And you told me to go into perhaps a meditative state and ask to be contacted. I personally have a little trouble contacting anything. I've been meditating for years, and I evidently have some blocks to opening up to any communication between even angels, guides, or whomever. Perhaps I could get together with Deborah at a later date. Maybe she could help me with that. That would be a blessing, I think. But my question is for the things that you explained to us that would have to occur prior to first contact, and one of those being the having some peace in the Middle East. Now, that has been a situation for so very long. I have difficulty in seeing how that can come about. I think you were mentioning to us that maybe first contact would be, well, it's imminent, but and soon. So the sooner the better, as far as I'm concerned, for a great many reasons. And the
right.
fact that they're going to bring the truth out about what's actually been transpiring for 13 millennia. But I just have so much difficulty in seeing the things take place that you mentioned to us that are going to have to take place before they can come or be
now,
disclosed or whatever.
Now, Sheldon, I can't let you answer this because we're at the end of the hour. But,
okay.
Michael, God bless you. It's like you call at the end of the hour and say, what is the meaning of life? And, you know, we covered the oil spill. Of course, Sheldon is going to be back. He's going to be doing his webinars. Look him up again. It's paoweb.com. Sign in for the webinars. Next week, I will be having a special guest who is a person who saves wild horses. And then the following week, I will... I think that's how it's going to work. And then the following week, I think, is when you have your webinar, correct?
Right, yeah, it's in 2 weeks. It's correct.
Okay, so I will not be having my show, and we're all going to go visit Sheldon on his webinar. So anyway, we must go. Get in contact by email. That will be a question that we raise. You have exactly 30 seconds, Sheldon, to say your goodbyes.
Okay, well, I want to thank everybody. I want to especially thank you, Deborah, for having me on again. And, of course, if you want to get in contact with me, the website is, of course, as she said, paoweb.com. And to get a hold of me, you just do info@paoweb.com. And so just know that I'm having the webinar starting on the 20th and going to the 24th for the second one. So please register and be a part of it. And I know all things will be well, and just stay in contact, and we will get the things done that are needed to get done so that this world shifts as it is supposed to and as it is destined. So I want to say that all with love.
And thank you so much. And Michael from Texas, one of the answers I got from Spirit is to continue to have faith. And you know that you also have a Christian faith. Am I correct? Are you still there? Well, if you listen to this in the archives, Michael, have faith because there are beings greater than ourselves or a being greater than ourselves who has things under control. Right, Sheldon?
Exactly. Exactly.
And I want to thank you all for joining us this week on Soul Odyssey Radio, and we will see you again next week. God bless.